What a question. You would have to ask that one.
That's a hard question. I think it's diversifying.
Actually, I think it's shrinking because the devil is a lie. And I meet more people that love the lie than the truth.
You see a lot out there, so I would say they may be growing.
I think they're shrinking.
Yeah. I can speak for me personally. I feel like I am growing.
Shrinking.
Boy, that's tough. Initially, I would have said shrinking, except that I think that a lot of people are starting to have newfound faith.
Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be rehearsing several different scriptures this morning, but that's going to be the main passage for us as we think about this value of multiplication. And today we are completing this series of us because here at Fellowship we have three values. It's connection, transformation, and multiplication. We want everyone who is a part of Fellowship to be connecting with God and with others. Connecting with God and with others. And we know that that results in transformation. When we connect with God and others, our lives, our hearts are transformed by the grace of God. Our attitudes and our actions are transformed. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to these two messages, Mark did a great job speaking about connection and Ben did a great job talking about transformation. And so if you haven't had a chance, I encourage you to go on our website and to listen to those sermons because it will help you know what we value as a church. And then the third thing today is multiplication, that we value multiplication. And sometimes that's a word that can be, I mean, it seems simple, it seems pretty straightforward, but quite honestly, I think sometimes people are saying, well, what do you mean when you say you value multiplication as a church? What does that really look like? And so this morning we want to talk about that. And I just want to start off, I don't have a graph or a chart, which I probably should have, but I just want us to think practically about this. And we can talk about the difference between addition and multiplication. Because multiplication is our value. We want to see the gospel spreading, right, all across Central Arkansas, all across the world. But let's just be real simple for just a moment, okay? Let's just say that we have three people that want to disciple others, okay? Now, just three people. We'll take one from the Cabot campus. We'll take one from the Little Rock campus. We'll take one from the Benton campus. And we'll even put names on those people, okay? We're going to say that Allison Herndon in Cabot wants to disciple, and she's fired up about it. And we're going to say Bill Parkinson, one of the founding teaching pastors here at Fellowship, that he's passionate about discipleship. Anybody who knows Bill knows that he's passionate about discipleship. And we'll take Bodie Nance. He's one of our elders in Benton, and Bodie loves Jesus. And so let's just take Bodie as someone who's going to disciple someone. Let's just say, you know what? The three of them are really excited about that. And they say, you know what? We're going to take five people this year, and we're going to disciple them. And we're going to commit to do that for the next 5 years. So every year we're going to take five people, and then the next year we'll take a different five people, and the next year we'll take a different five people. And we'll kind of let it stop at that, okay? If those three people did that, then I bet you can do the math, but this is how many people they would affect over 5 years. They would affect 75 people, okay? 75 people will be discipled. So Allison has five people. The next year she does a different five. The next year she does a different five. The next year she does a different five. Same thing with Bill. Same thing with Bodie. 75 people. Let's just say it got really crazy and we had 10 people that said, you know what, we want to do this. We got 10 people that want to disciple five people every year. And so they do that. Well, guess what? That ends up being 250 people. Over 5 years. And that's good. Let's just say we get real radical and we have 20 people that want to do that. 20 people say, you know what? We're going to do five people every year. And so it's addition. And guess what? That ends up being 500 people. How glorious is that? 500 people being discipled. But that's addition. Let's talk about multiplication. I know you know this, okay? Some of you who are math minds, you know what that means, compound interest. Like, you know what's coming, don't you? Let's just say that those same three people say, you know what, we're going to disciple five people. But we're going to disciple them in such a way that then they go disciple five people, and they disciple five people, and they disciple five people. Let me just tell you the difference over 5 years. Remember those three numbers, 75, 250, and 500. Here's how it changes when it becomes multiplication. If those same three people take that and they multiply 5, 5, 5, then what that means is over 5 years, that's 9,375 people. Now, if we have 10 radical people who are teaching five, who are teaching five, who are teaching five, who are teaching five, if they do that over a five-year span, guess how many people it is? It's 31,250 people. You want to hear what it is with 20? Just 20 people who say, we're going to disciple five people who are going to disciple five people who are going to disciple five people who are going to disciple five people, and it's going to happen for 5 years. I just want you to hear the number that it would be over 5 years' time frame. Just 20 people, multiplication with five people every year. 62,500 people. That's how God creates a divine disturbance in Central Arkansas. Is when you and I stop doing addition and we start doing multiplication. And ultimately, God's the one who does that. God's the one who brings the growth. It's His grace. It's His gospel that's changing us, and it's causing us to influence others in that way. It's His Holy Spirit that's working in us. It's His Holy Spirit's power that's bringing that about. But it is a grace-driven effort. And the reality of it is this, is that you and I need to learn what God means by multiplication, that we are teaching, training, helping others know what it means to follow Christ so that they can go and do the same. I mean, even this morning, I was just kind of thinking about it in my own mind. I went back to my little phone calculator, and I was like, what if it was just 100 people who were just doing three people? What if it was just 100 people that was just doing three people? And again, in 5 years, it's like 60,000 people. It's crazy how that works. Now, I know that nothing is as easy and clean as these figures, okay? I know that. But what if? What if we truly caught the vision and went after it? What if you and I lived and taught the gospel in such a way that people learn to live and teach others to live and teach others? That's multiplication. And here's how Paul talked about it in our text today. Look in Colossians chapter 1, some of my favorite verses. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 8. Here's what it says. It says, "Of this you have heard before, in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit." Now, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, and I love it because it says, you've heard this before in the word of truth, the gospel has come to you. It's come to you and you heard it and it's bearing fruit. It's bearing fruit all over the world. It's increasing all over the world. And it's increasing in you and it's increasing through you, just as you learned it from our brother Epaphras. And so this morning, we need to ask a few questions about multiplication. And the first one is this: what is multiplication? What is it? Well, here's what it is. It's the gospel increasing in us and through us. I tried to get as simple as I could with this definition of multiplication for people who might be confused, kind of going, I don't really know. I don't really understand what multiplication really means. In the context of the gospel, and when you look in the context of Colossians, here's what it means. The gospel is growing in you and through you. That's what multiplication looks like. And it happens in small ways that happen in big ways. Sometimes I talk to the staff about the sermon that I'm going to be preaching and get a little bit of feedback. And one of the things I got some feedback from some of our pastors on staff. And one person said this. He said, you know what? I feel like when you're trying to disciple one person or two people, it just feels so small. And she said, you know what, I'm learning to be okay with small because small can turn into big. And sometimes I just want to say to our people to kind of go, yes, be concerned with small. That's great. Find those two or three people, invest in them, share the gospel with them, teach them, train them, live it in front of them, model it for them, resource them, help them to know what it looks like to grow in Christ, and then let them do the same with two other people, and let them do the same with two other people, and watch something small grow incredibly big. That's multiplication. It's the gospel increasing in us and through us. Paul says this gospel is bearing fruit all around the world, just as it is in you. And so I just want to give you a real quick snapshot of what it looks like when the gospel is increasing in you. Because sometimes people can say, well, you know, we talk about gospel, we talk about grace, we talk about all this stuff, but can you just get kind of practical? Yes, we can. What does a snapshot look like? What does it look like if the gospel is increasing in you? Okay, let me just give you a real brief snapshot of that. Watch this. As God in Christ loves you, so you can love others. As God in Christ forgives you, so you forgive others. As God in Christ is patient with you, so you are patient with others. As God in Christ is generous to you, so you are generous to others. As God in Christ is kind to you, so you are kind to others. Are you seeing a pattern here? See, the more that you and I understand the grace of God in our lives, the grace of God to us, the more that we understand the finished work of Christ on the cross, that he completed the work on the cross, that his grace comes to us, the more that we understand that, the more God uses that to work through us. So the more that we understand how much God loves us, the more we're able to love others. This is an incredible tool in parenting. It's an incredible tool in friendship. The more that I realize how patient God has been with me, it helps me be patient with my kids. It's amazing. The more that I realize how generous God has been to me, the more it makes me want to be generous to others. That's how the gospel increases in you. That's how the gospel increases in us. But it's not just increasing in us, it's also increasing through us. It's the gospel growing through us. Paul says, look, it's bearing fruit all around the world, just as it's come to you, and now it's going out to others. So multiplication means that the gospel is increasing in us and through us. And here's a simple definition I would say is it's teaching and living in such a way that someone else is learning, living, and teaching someone else, who's learning and living and teaching someone else, who's learning and living and teaching someone else, who's learning and living and teaching someone else. You get that? That et cetera is there for a reason. Because it goes on and on. This is the song that never ends. Remember that for some of you? This is the song that never ends. It goes on and on and on. That you and I as believers, we are learning the gospel in such a way. We are living the gospel in such a way. We are teaching the gospel in such a way with such intentionality that someone else is doing the very same thing, who's helping someone else do the very same thing, who's helping someone else do the very same thing. Have I been repetitive enough? Because it's multiplication. And I think if you were to look in the mirror and have a conversation with yourself, you might start by asking, who's following Jesus because of me right now? Who am I practicing this with right now? And if you say, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody that I can do this with. And I would say, you know what? You need to get out more, okay? Because there's people that need this in their life. And by the way, you can start with those closest to you. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But we're teaching and living and learning in such a way that someone else is doing the same thing. Here's what I know about the root of multiplication. The root of multiplication is grace. You like that? I tried to do a little play on words. Multiplication, root, square root, get that? The root of multiplication is grace. Some of you math people love that, you know? Others of you are like, I'm getting a nervous tick. Like, you get a nerve like math, right? The root of multiplication is grace. Listen, and the reason I said that is not because I was trying to be cute. The reason I said that is because it's biblical. Look at what it says in Colossians. Paul says, you've understood the grace of God in truth. I love that. I have it underlined in my Bible. The gospel's coming to you. It's bearing fruit and it's growing in all the world as it's done among you since the day you heard it. And guess what? You heard it and you understood the grace of God in truth. The root of multiplication is grace. Paul says, you guys understood grace, and because you understood grace, guess what? The gospel began to just multiply. It began to go out from here because that's what happens. I love how David Platt says it. He says, this is the grand purpose for which we were created, to enjoy the grace of Christ as we spread the gospel of Christ from wherever we live to the ends of the earth. And this purpose is worth giving our lives to seeing it accomplished. It's worth it for billions of people who do not yet know the mercy and majesty of God in Christ. And it's worth it for you and me because we were made to be disciples who make disciples until the day when we see the face of the one who we follow. Together with all the nations, we experience his satisfaction for all eternity. That we enjoy the grace of Christ as we spread the gospel of Christ. Do you know the mission statement of Fellowship Bible Church? It's very biblical. To make disciples who live by God's grace and for his glory at home and across the world. And so we want our teenagers who are here and our families, we want you making disciples who make disciples. Our sage workers, we want you making disciples who make disciples. Our midlifers, we want you making disciples who make disciples. Our young adults, we want you making disciples who make disciples. That's biblical. See, the root of multiplication is grace. But let me just kind of move on. Why do we value multiplication? Why do we value it? Well, I just said it, because it's biblical. The reason we value multiplication is because it's biblical. You can see this all throughout the scriptures. I mean, look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Paul says, to me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. That's Ephesians chapter 3. But listen to what it says. It says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God may be made known. Through the church. Multiplication is biblical. It happens through the church. I also want you to hear what the writer of Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 and 14 says this. About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And the writer of Hebrews is calling them out. The writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, you should have been doing this by now. Like, you should have been teaching and training others in the gospel who can teach and train others in the gospel who can teach and train others in the gospel. You should have been doing that by now, but guess what? You're still on milk. You're still hanging on to the sippy cup. You're still over here, and instead of moving to meat, you're still on milk, and instead of being mature, you're still immature in your faith. And the writer of Hebrews says, that's not the way it should be. You should be growing in your faith, growing in the gospel. It should be multiplying in you and through you. And just by virtue of reading the scripture this morning, what we're saying, fellowship, what the scripture is saying to us is the early church had an expectation that people were living in this multiplying way. That it wasn't just enough for us to come and sit on a Sunday morning. It wasn't just enough for us to kind of come and be here and consume without actually multiplying and discipling. The early church expected growth from people and for others to be able to teach what they were learning about Jesus and how to follow him. It's biblical. Here's the second thing. It's because it's commanded. Multiplication is not just biblical. It's commanded. There are multiple scriptures that command multiplication. One of them that's probably the most famous for all of us is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's called the Great Commission. It really is every church's, every gospel declaring church's mission. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus came to them and said, all authorities in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This command is for every disciple. Like this command is not just for the elite or for the spiritual ninjas, you know? This is for every follower of Christ. The command says, listen, you need to go and teach people to observe everything I've commanded them and baptize them in the name of Jesus. Like, baptize them in the name of Jesus, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and be able to help them obey everything I've commanded you. And really, listen, you definitely need to grow in grace and knowledge. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes the biggest excuse that we hear for disciple making is people going, I just don't know enough. Fellowship, listen to me. The majority of you know enough. Knowledge is not the issue for many of you. It's intentionality, and it's stepping out of your comfort zone and discipling. But it's commanded in Scripture. Look what it says in 2 Timothy. Paul says it this way to a young pastor. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, entrust to faithful people, right, who will be able to teach others also. Paul says to Timothy, listen, what you've heard me teach you, teach to others who can teach to others. I think some of us are making it too hard. Some of us are thinking that maybe this is what the pastors need to be doing. The pastors need to be one to multiply. Listen, here's what I love about the history of fellowship. For any of you who've been around here for very long at all, fellowship's one of its main markers over its years of history, almost 40 years of being around, is what? Fellowship has been known as an equipping church. And you know why we equip? Because the scripture says that the pastors are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So that we can serve, so that we can multiply. That we need to be teaching others. Here's the third reason, because it grows us in grace and knowledge of Jesus. The reason why multiplication is because it's biblical, it's commanded, because it grows us in grace and knowledge of Jesus. And since multiplication is rooted in grace, it's only natural that it would grow us in grace and knowledge of Jesus. And we know from the book of Titus that grace trains us to renounce worldly desires. It trains us to say no to ungodliness. That's what grace does. Grace trains us to say no to the world and yes to Jesus. Grace makes us zealous for good works. Grace causes us to live self-controlled and upright lives in this world. That's what grace does. And so it would make sense for you and I to grow in grace and knowledge. That's how Peter closes out 2 Peter, his last letter. He says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that command is good for all of us, to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's see if we can't get close to the end of why we do multiplication. It's because God wants to grow us in grace and knowledge of Jesus. But here's the last question. How do we value multiplication? Okay, what is it? It's the gospel increasing in us and through us. Why do we do it? Because it's biblical, it's commanded, it grows us in grace and knowledge. And then how do we do that? How do we value multiplication here at Fellowship? How does that practically happen for us? First way is this, by the way we approach life and ministry. By the way we approach life and ministry. That's one of the main ways that we value multiplication here at Fellowship is by the way that we approach life and ministry. And there are so many ways to encourage us in that. There's so many pictures of multiplication that happen around here. How many of you had the opportunity to witness a baptism here at Fellowship? I love it. I love it, man. Just a few weeks ago, we sang a song in every venue on every campus. We sang a song, Christ is Risen from the Dead. And I don't know if you were here that week, but if you weren't, you missed it. And we sang this song, and in the background of the song, you just see over and over again just baptisms, man. Baptisms. It's dads baptizing kids, man. It's women baptizing women they brought to Christ. It's husbands baptizing their spouse. It's unbelievable. It's just life change. It's a picture of multiplication. I think about our approach to life and ministry, the money that we give to support Fellowship Associates. I mean, Steve Snyder, Bill Wellens, those guys at Fellowship Associates who have planted over 80 churches. Over 85 churches, and there's churches that are going out. They're being trained, guys that are being brought in, and they're being trained, and they're going out, and they're starting churches, and they're multiplying the gospel all around the country, and even some of them all around the world. It's a picture of multiplication that's happening here at Fellowship. I think about our church campuses, Benton and Cabot, and you've heard us stand up here before and say we desire to have more campuses, and we pray to that end. Even as we think about Daniel Brand coming and as we think about the opportunity of impacting Latinos here in Central Arkansas, that we want to see multiplication happen. It's our prayer. It's our desire. It's our longing. And even though some of that hasn't come to fruition as fast as we would like it, it's still our prayer and our desire to see multiplication happen through our campuses. What about discipleship groups? The way we approach ministry, discipleship groups, that's why you hear us say, get in a D group. Be in a D group. We'd love for you to get in a D group. Have you considered a D group? We want you to join a D group. We think D group's important. Do you understand that? It's a discipleship group because that's where life can be found whenever you get together with other believers and you practice the one another's of scriptures and you rehearse the gospel with each other. You rehearse the gospel with each other and you learn how the gospel impacts our lives, how it impacts our marriages, our friendships, our working relationships, our neighbors, our parenting, all these things. And if you're not in a D group, you need to be in a D group. You say, man, I haven't been able to connect. Well, you know what? You just haven't found the right one yet. We want to help you do that. And you can stop by the Connection Center on any campus, and we will help get you connected to a D group. Multiplication happens there. It's the way we approach ministry. One of the exciting things that's been happening in our women's ministry, and some of you women have been involved in it, it's these book clubs. What is it with women in book clubs? These book clubs. Last year they did Colossians. It was like this explosion, and you kind of hear this earthquake kind of trembling and how God was just multiplying these book clubs. This past summer it's been Philippians. And God's just taking this Philippians thing, and he's just kind of turned the little Central Arkansas kind of upside down with these women who are abuzz about these book clubs. So I dug a little bit deeper. I talked to Catherine Mack, and I just said, tell me a little bit more about these. Just send me some bullet points about these book clubs. She said, they began last summer. Women in our church went out in the community, reading through one chapter a week for four weeks with their neighbors. I mean, that sounds really, really complex. Not so much. Reading one chapter a week for 4 weeks with neighbors and friends and coworkers. This summer, they went out and formed Philippians book clubs, and over the 2 summers, listen to this, 100 groups of women, approximately 500 women, have simply read the word. 100 groups, 500 women approximately have gone through this. It's multiplication. It's happening. They've discussed the power of the word of God and the power of Jesus, and it's changing their lives. And it says, while we all seem to think that we don't have enough knowledge to lead conversations about Jesus, the book clubs have shown us the vast need in our community. Matter of fact, in one lady's group, she was meeting with a group of teachers from her kids' elementary school. I mean, how awesome is that? That a mom would have that kind of vision, that she met with some of the teachers from her kids' elementary school, and she was surprised when one woman brought a children's Bible because that was all she had. And another woman, when she was asked to read the first chapter of the book, she was actually reading the introduction notes. This was the first time that many of these women had even touched a Bible. And she ended up distributing new Bibles that our church provided to these women. And when one woman was saying to her husband that he was a pretty good man, so he should go to heaven, Emily was able to talk through her with some verses that show the gospel and that really it's not about being good, it's about knowing Jesus. And Jesus is the one who's done the work, and he's the only one who can save our hearts. I think about Christina Clores, a Filipino nurse in our community. She had it on her heart to reach out to other women at her work. And she said that in her Filipino culture that they heard that reading the Bible can sometimes make you go insane. But she asked several women to try reading Philippians with her. And one by one, these women joined her in reading Philippians. And 3 women gave their heart to Christ. They even began applying it. And as one woman visited her in-laws, they prayed for her to be able to offer them forgiveness. And she saw God's power enable her to do just that. Just because one nurse decided to reach out to some other nurses and some other ladies that she knew and said, would you read the book of Philippians with me? We don't even know what the book of Philippians with me is. That's a good reason to read it. And so let's just read it together. And look what God did. Please don't make multiplication out to be something that's only for the pastors. Don't make it something that's out that's just hard for everybody to do. We can do that. Chris Wilcher on the Benton campus, he's starting a group in a few weeks. They're going to go through a book called Counterfeit Gods, talking about the idols in our hearts. And he's starting it at his workplace because he thinks it's going to be a perfect place to minister to the guys around him that work with him. Multiplication is happening through our church, the way we approach ministry. Clay Kennard, he and his wife Lauren, who were called out of our Cabot body to go to Italy, to minister in Italy, to live full-time in Italy. Just recently, he preached his second sermon in Italian. Love it. Multiplication. It's the way we approach it. Here's the last thing. By the way we invest our resources. By the way we invest our resources. The time is one of our most valuable resources. The way that we show we value multiplication is by the way we invest our resources. And time is one of those greatest ones. And I want to take just a moment to say this, that one of the greatest ways we can multiply is by serving here at Fellowship, in FSM with our students. I'm excited. I've just entered the world. I've got a teenager in my house now. I mean, it's crazy. And I've signed on. I'm leading a 7th grade D group. Can you believe that? I'm not even sure. Well, I'm leading a 7th grade D group, right? FSM. We have Renew here in the Little Rock campus that need leaders. We have other ministries, Stevens Ministry. We've got all these different ministries that need people to lead and serve. D groups, to lead a D group. But especially our FSK ministry, our kids ministry. What better way for us to multiply than to pour into the younger generation? And I just need you to know this, a little time out for our church body. And this is all over all of our campuses. We still need some volunteers to serve for this next ministry year in FSK. And just so you know, we've taken steps as a ministry team to make it really safe for our kids to be in the area that they're in. Matter of fact, so much so that we've said, you know what, to make it as safe as we can, we've increased the needed number of volunteers. And by the way, we've gotten most of those volunteers, and we're thankful for those of you who are with us. But you need to know as a parent, when you drop your kid off, that your kid is safe. That we've put policies and procedures in place to say, you know what, they're going to be safe. And not only are they going to be safe, they're going to be taught the gospel. But it's so much of a priority to us that we don't want to shut any classes down. But because we're committed to keeping your kids safe, and we're committed to do it in an environment that is safe and to be able to teach the gospel, we need volunteers. Still need 35 on Little Rock campus, still need 15 on Cabot campus, still need 6 on the Benton campus. And you can sign up on the bulletin flap, you can go to the FSK desk today, and you can talk to someone about serving. Here on the Little Rock campus, it's mainly in the preschool area. We need some people to invest in our youngsters, like our little ones, to be able to care for them. And some of you maybe have been sitting on the sideline, and it's time to say, you know what? One of the ways I can multiply is to be able to serve here in this way. I encourage you to do that, to bless our body in that way. Investing in the lives here, so many ways that we see multiplication. I've already mentioned Fellowship Associates. I want to mention one last thing as we close. We have some worship leaders that are part of Fellowship that are some pretty talented guys. I love our whole worship team. But we have some guys that are called We the Union, and they recently just released a new worship project. It's called The Most Beautiful Place on Earth, and it is phenomenal. It's available on iTunes. I encourage you to go. If you're saying, is this a commercial? Yes, it is, a little bit. It's available on iTunes. It's available in our bookstore here on the Little Rock campus. It's something you want to buy for your friends, for your neighbors, for your coworkers. It is the gospel. It's getting the gospel out. It's one way that we value multiplication. I had the privilege of preaching in another church last week. I want you to hear this. I was preaching the gospel in another church last week. And during the worship service, I hear a song that this whole church is singing. And guess who wrote that song? Our worship leaders. God's taking their working, their writing, and he's blessing the church at large. It's one way that we're multiplying. Actually, tonight I'm real excited because we're having a worship night here at 6:30 on the Little Rock campus. We invite Cabot, Ben, and everybody to come tonight as these guys are going to be leading us in worship, sharing songs from that project, and we're going to worship together tonight at 6:30. If you didn't have it on your calendar, you need to now. It's going to be a great time to worship the Lord. Multiplication is happening. It's happening. God's doing an incredible work in us and through us. As I wrap this up this morning, let me just ask you some questions for thought. They're in your bulletin. Are you following Christ in such a way that you're leading others to Christ? Who is in your life that you are teaching what you are learning? Hey, stay-at-home moms, listen, don't live with a bunch of guilt heaped on your life. Some of your greatest discipleship is happening with those kids in that house. And don't overlook that and say, you know what, everyone else is making disciples, but I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just working with my kids at home. Listen, that's not only a place, it's the greatest place for discipleship for you. And you don't need to think that you're not doing it. Some of you are meeting with other ladies already, and you're kind of going, I just can't add one more group. Then good, don't add it. Just add the scriptures to the group you're already with. It's crazy how that might work. Think about how you can invest in other people's world. Who is in your life that you're teaching, and what are you learning? Are you investing in the church in a way that helps the gospel increase in others? I'd love for you to answer those three questions because I think that's going to affect how the gospel gets multiplied here at Fellowship. Multiplication. We value it here. And the root of it is grace. His grace to us multiplies through others. And we want to be a multiplying church. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for your grace to us this morning. Thank you so much for your generosity to us. Jesus, that in love you came to this earth and you lived a sinless, perfect life. And your death on the cross and your resurrection from the grave forgives us of our sins and gives us hope in you. And we know that the root of multiplication is grace. It's your grace to us. Would you connect us to that grace today? Would you transform us by that grace today? Would you multiply that grace in us and through us today? We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.